Hey there, welcome to the Making Margin podcast. My name is Nick Foy. I'm the founder of Greenway Wealth Advisors. We are a financial planning and investment management firm based in the south end of Charlotte, North Carolina. With me today on the podcast, right next to me in the office, my wife, Natalie. Hello, Natalie.
Hello.
And with us remotely from Northern Mecklenburg County, from his home, is Jeff Eminger, our director of financial planning. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
I didn't mention Natalie, by the way, is an associate advisor and our CFO. Today is episode 17, and open enrollment is upon us for many of our clients and for many others. And so we wanted to talk about considerations for picking a healthcare plan, and we'll go beyond that a little bit. But healthcare and health insurance for many people is becoming the single largest expense. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, the average family premium in 2019 was $20,576. That's just for the premium for health insurance. That's 22% higher than the average premium was in 2014 and 54% higher than the average premium in 2009. So as you can see, health insurance premiums have risen much, much faster than inflation over the last 12 years or so. And we expect, based on the work that we did on our own plan for Greenway and what we've seen out there, for those to are expected to increase between 8 and 12% next year over what they were in 2020. So as you can see, those costs continue to escalate much more than wages have. And at some point, we've got to figure that those costs are no longer sustainable. In the meantime, we want to kind of put together a game plan for people, things to think about, things to consider as they start looking at the different insurance options that are available. So Natalie, I wanted to have you share a little bit of a story about the open enrollment process when you were kind of estimating healthcare costs for our family.
Yeah, I just recently was comparing two plans side by side that might be available to us under the exchange as I rolled off my last job before joining Greenway. And side by side, there were two plans that looked identical. Same deductible, same out-of-pocket max. Both had the HSA option. But one plan was $3,000 cheaper. And
sounds like a good deal.
Sounds like a good deal. And I thought, oh, this makes sense. We should probably look at this plan. And as you look at the tables comparing the plans side by side, they looked identical. But I really had to go into the details of the plan and enter the doctors that we use. And before I realized that the cheaper plan would have actually cost at least $69,000 more in terms of our deductible, because all of the doctors that we use, and my son, who has a chronic health issue, has to use the doctors in this one system, would not be covered. They were considered out of network. So on the nose, it looked like the plans were very similar, and it made sense to go with the one that was cheaper. But when you really get bogged down in the details, see which providers are covered, it would have been an absolute nightmare and a very costly mistake for us to choose that option.
Obviously, like, a close examination of what's available is really important. And thinking of it in context with your family and what your needs are and what the potential needs are, because as Nellie mentioned, you know, the one system with the plan with $3,000 higher premiums happens to be the system where all the specialists are, all the pediatric specialists are. So if you go with the wrong system, then suddenly, even if you have an unexpected issue, you might end up in a really significant bind. So we want to give you a few things to think about as you consider what plan might make the most sense for you. And what we find out is a lot of people just kind of roll over. They take their current plan and they say, yeah, that worked great, so we'll go ahead and keep that one. But I want to, Natalie, go ahead and talk through some things to think about as you consider the other options that are available.
Yeah, I think there are some big questions you need to ask as you look at the plans that are being offered by your employer or on the exchange. As Nick said, a lot of people will just roll over their plan without really digging into any of the details. But some important questions you should ask are, one, have your needs changed? For example, are you thinking about getting pregnant? If so, you should look at the details on prenatal care under the different options presented to you. Are you thinking about adopting? Some plans include some adoption coverage. Do you have children who are entering daycare facilities or rolling out of daycare facilities? If so, you should consider the FSA, the flexible spending account, that would pay for that. So all of those things should be factored into have your needs changed. Second, you should consider, has the plan changed or what in the plan has changed? Often the premiums go up, as we discussed, but sometimes you'll see changes on what is covered, what's considered in-network versus out-of-network, and different outpatient procedures that might be covered in 1 year might not be covered in the second. So really take a look at some of the fine print, understand what is being covered this year that might not have been last year or vice versa. And then last, has there been a change in providers available within the plan? This can come as a big shock to a lot of people, because if you assume that your plan from last year covered the doctors that you see, if you assume that continues this year, you might be in for a big shock to all of a sudden find out that the doctors that you see on a regular basis might be out of network. I would say this doesn't happen all that often, but it's certainly worth pulling up the plan, plugging in the doctor's name to see if they're covered under the new plan. Similarly, you can look at to see how pharmacy benefits have changed. We had one big shock last year for our family when a pharmacy that we had used for my son's medications since he was born, essentially, all of a sudden was considered out of network. And mm-hmm. it created a lot of scrambling and a lot of work to figure out how we could get his medications filled somewhere else that would be available under the plan. So those are all things to consider as you look at your new plan option side by side.
Cool. Yeah, that's good stuff. Jeff, you've done a lot of work on helping our clients estimate their all-in annual costs. And a lot of people just look at monthly premiums. Tell me a little bit about everything to consider when looking at the costs of the plan.
Yeah, that's a really natural thing, is to just kind of look at what the cheapest premium is and go with that, or even comparing the premium to the deductible. That's really not enough to get a picture of what it's going to cost. And this is one of those times where, like Natalie alluded to, it really pays to take a little bit deeper look at it. And so that's something that we help our clients out with every year. So it's looking at, you know, not just the monthly premiums, but what the annual cost would be. If you know that you're a family that uses a lot of healthcare, it's a pretty easy thing to calculate, kind of taking your out-of-pocket max plus premiums. I know we'll talk about this a little bit later, but then factoring in kind of potential tax savings from an HSA. Most times that I run the analysis on plans, the HSA plan wins out because the premiums are a little bit lower and then there's some tax savings involved. There are still plans out there though that, it pays to not have the HSA option, because the deductible out-of-pocket max is so low that it's worth kind of foregoing the opportunity of the HSA. So it's really something that is so individualized. And then another thing we look at is, you know, if it's family, what makes the most sense kind of from the holistic level? So should everybody be on one family member's plan? Should they be on their own separate plan? Which plan should any children go on to? Because it's really so different from employer to employer how they handle those types of benefits. And typically it's the cheapest to be on your own employer's health insurance plan, because there's kind of a additional cost to having someone that doesn't work there be on the plan. So it's really one of those things where you just have to look at all the available options and compare. So that's something we do for our clients, is just run, I put together a little spreadsheet where we just plug in all the options and see which one kind of shakes out to be the best.
Yeah. It's a lot of different considerations and goes a lot deeper, I think, than what people are generally doing when they're just sitting in front of their computer and deciding on a health plan.
Yeah.
One other thing Natalie mentioned is that for a lot of people, a high deductible health plan might be a better option, even for heavy healthcare users. But then you got to have the cash flow to support those additional expenses if you're going to go all the way up to your out of pocket max. So that for sure is a consideration.
Oh, absolutely.
Jeff mentioned the HSA health savings account. We've done a podcast episode on this separately, and I've written about it, and we talk about it with all of our clients. And basically, for anyone who has the option for an HSA, we take a really, really hard look at it. We don't necessarily recommend it, but at least take a really hard look at it. And there are a lot of factors involved. One of them that we talk about is tax savings associated with it. So even if you have a lower premium plan with a higher out-of-pocket max, if you're going to hit that out-of-pocket max, this is what makes ultimately the high deductible plan sometimes a better option. Even if you hit that out-of-pocket max, the tax savings associated with putting money into an HSA can be really significant. And there are some other good benefits with an HSA. Talk through that a little bit, Natalie. What are the other benefits of a health savings account?
Yeah, so I think most people think of a health savings account as something that you just have and that you fund in 1 year and use the dollars in that plan that year to pay for your out-of-pocket health care expenses. That's the way most people seem to use it. But we really would recommend considering it as an investment vehicle. This is one of the most understood investment vehicles.
Misunderstood
investment vehicles. Thank you. And we would recommend that you max it out every year that you have the ability to. And if your cash flow supports it, we would recommend not using those dollars each year to pay for your healthcare expenses, but allowing that those dollars to be invested and to grow. And one reason this health or the HSA is such a powerful vehicle is it is there's a triple tax benefit. So you first you put your money in pre-tax, interest grows tax-free. And when you withdraw the dollars, as long as they're used for qualified medical expenses, you withdraw them and they're tax-free. So that's the triple tax advantage associated with it. You will never lose these dollars. They can always be, they're always in your name. If you therefore have the cash flow to support it, you put your money in pre-tax, you invest it, you allow it to grow tax-free. This can pay for significant healthcare expenses later in your life. And we think it's something that everyone should consider if they have the cash flow to support it.
Yeah. I think that, the benefit of these is so significant because the hardest thing for us to estimate and factor in when we're doing financial plans is this future healthcare cost. We don't even know what the healthcare scheme is going to look like over the next few years, let alone what's going to look like 20 and 30 and 40 years down the road. So you have just a giant hedge against the uncertainty of what the healthcare system looks like by having an HSA. Like Natalie said, tax-free growth. And after age 65, if you don't use it for healthcare, you pull it out and you just tax as ordinary income like a 401k would have been. So they're really, really powerful tools. A couple other thoughts on this. If you're purchasing a plan on the exchange, meaning healthcare.gov, there is a link, and we're going to put it into our show notes, but there's a link where you can actually get free help from local people who are supposedly trained to assist you in thinking through what the different options are. And so make sure you take advantage of that because if you're, you know, a lot of these terms are really confusing, and I think it's good to get somebody to help you. Jeff mentioned, too, thinking through things beyond health insurance, the other things that might be involved with your open enrollment process. Tell me a little bit about what your thoughts are there, Jeff.
Yeah. So first, if you're not working for a big corporation that provides your benefits, if you're self-employed, you kind of have to think through all the things that might be covered if you were in a corporate environment. So disability is probably the most important one there. That's something that, you know, everybody needs. It kind of supplements income in the event that you were unable to work anymore. So you have to think about, you know, who's dependent on your income. And if that's anybody, then disability is an important thing to have. And that can be really expensive to get on your own. So for our self-employed clients, we kind of encourage them to look at groups like Freelancers Union. So this is a way that you can kind of form a group with other self-employed individuals and pay more reasonable rates for disability insurance. So I'd say that's an important one to keep in mind. another thing that kind of adjacent to the open enrollment process, when you're thinking through your life insurance in your work situation and what's provided and available to you in open enrollment, you also have to think about life insurance outside of your work plan. Again, if you were to die and, you know, you have children or a home that needs to be paid off or something like that, there's some risk if your income were to go away, you need protection. And the, you know, what happens when you, if you were to become disabled or leave your job, that life insurance goes away or becomes really, really expensive. And so having some type of term policy that's portable outside of your work situation is something that we definitely encourage in the right circumstances. Again, that's one of those things that does depend. Vision and dental insurance, this is something that you kind of just have to look at what those costs are and compare them to what you might expect to spend. Sometimes it makes a lot of sense to do it, and sometimes it doesn't. They operate a lot if you're not getting kind of your company to subsidize a lot of that benefit. They operate kind of like a forced savings plan. So that's just something where you have to kind of analyze the cost as well. And then lastly, legal plans are something that we see pop up pretty frequently. So something like that, the Hyatt legal plan is one of the more popular ones. And it can be really inexpensive to have access to a lawyer. So if you planned on purchasing real estate, or if you need an update to your estate plan, anything like that, this can be a really inexpensive way to take care of that need. So just another kind of around the fringes thing to look for.
Yeah, I think that's all good stuff. Touch on the life insurance thing one more time. You mentioned it. The idea of a lot of people come to us and they don't have any portable life insurance. And so we say, well, what life insurance? They say, oh, I just have this through work, and I got the extra stuff through work anyway. And usually it's really cheap through work. Yes. So that's great. That's probably a good benefit. But for a lot of people, having a term policy outside of that is necessary, or is a pretty good idea. Yeah. I think that, you know, strongly considering having something outside of work for a lot of people.
Yeah, with insurance and term life policies in particular, you buy them with your health and your age. So when the older that you get and the less healthy you become, the more expensive those are. And that's really why, if you have a conversion policy option, so that means when you leave your job, you can take the life insurance with you. Because they've never done a physical exam on you, they assume the worst, and your premiums are sky high. And so that's where it's important to have something on the outside, potentially, that is supplemental. And yeah, it's a great idea to take advantage of life insurance through work, because like you said, it's really inexpensive, but there's often some additional need as well.
Cool. Any other thoughts, Natalie?
No, I just echo the sentiment of getting a life insurance policy as soon as you can, really. There are things that I found that impact your premium, such as, you know, if you are pregnant and then you get gestational diabetes, even though you've been totally healthy up to that point and doctors aren't concerned about that, gestational diabetes becomes something that limits your ability to get any life insurance or without paying an absurd cost. So the sooner you can get in, get your physical to get a premium or a quote on what life insurance is going to cost, the better.
Yeah. We're starting to sound like life insurance salesmen. Promise we're not.
No, then we'd be trying to sell some kind of whole policy.
Here, buy this policy from me. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's good stuff. Appreciate you guys listening in. If you have any questions or thoughts or feedback, feel free to send us a note, info@greenwaywealth.com. If there are specific questions that you'd like us to answer for you, at our website, greenwaywealth.com, you can set up either a 15-minute intro call or a discovery meeting with one of our advisors. It's not a salesy session process or anything like that. But we're here to help. So let us know how we can. And we appreciate you listening to episode 17, Picking a Health Plan on the Making Margin podcast.